I welcome you on this Good Friday morning to Central Moments. As you know, this past week we have substituted our normal Central Moments for walking the last week with Jesus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Dr. Wabe Nunley and I produced a video focusing on what Jesus did in each of those days during his last week. But today I'd like to come to four words that all of history swings on. And they're simple, but they're horrifying. And it's Mark 15, verse 24, where Mark just said, "And they crucified him." And they crucified him. I have a gift someone gave me of a first century Roman nail. So this would have been from the time of Christ, and it would have been a nail just like this that the Romans would have used to pierce Jesus' hands or feet, or sometimes if they crucified a person, they put this nail through their ankle as their feet would straddle each side of the cross. It's a horrifying thing. The victims would hang for hours. Sometimes the Romans, if they really didn't like a person, could position that victim on the cross so they actually hang there for days in excruciating agony. In fact, we get the word excruciating from the word crucifixion. Jesus hung for 6 hours on the cross, horrible way of dying. If you're a humanist, you may be encouraged with humanity's creativity, the new technologies that we've been able to develop, the progress of human history technologically. But if you're a humanist, you're probably also pretty discouraged. Our capacity for violence, our capacity for abuse, and our capacity for inventions that inflict incredible pain on other people. But Jesus met us at our worst, and there on the cross he was crucified. Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," or the sinful inclinations of your flesh, "God made you alive with Christ." There's going to be death and there's going to be resurrection here. He made you alive with Christ. And then he focuses on Jesus' crucifixion. "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. And he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." What on earth is he talking about? Well, it was common in ancient times, if you owed somebody money or you had a debt that needed to be paid off, if the one to whom you owed the debt wanted to forgive you and to release you from what you owed, they would write out on a piece of paper that everything that you owed. And then they would go to a doorpost or a wooden post of some kind. And in the act of forgiveness, they would take a nail, actually, and drive it through that list of everything that we owed that maybe we could never pay, but that God, that some master, someone to whom we owed, would forgive us. This is the picture Paul's picking up on. If we were to take this sheet of paper, we could probably fill up both sides with everything we owe God, all our sins, all our debts, all of the ways we failed him. There's no way we could ever make that up. But Paul said, at the cross, Jesus drove a nail through it, and so we can be free. And not only that, but there was a power transaction at the cross. Verse 15, the next verse in Colossians 2. "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Because sin is just more than mistakes. It's more than bad choices. Sin is a power. And behind it is the power of Satan himself. The whole power structure of evil. Jesus put a nail through it as he forgave our debts. And in that, he also gave us the power to be free from sin's power. Those debts no longer have dominion over us. And the power that caused us to so sin against God is broken by the cross. So today we want to remember what Jesus did on this Good Friday for us at the cross, when nails were put through the debt we owed our God that we could never repay. We want to repent of our sin, and we want to receive. We want to just receive more willpower or more more conviction that I got to try harder. We just want to see what God, receive what God did for us. So would you pray for me with me? Father, thank you for this good day. Thank you for Good Friday. It's a horrible day. And they crucified Jesus, your word says. What a horrible ordeal. But Lord, how good it was, because there, out of your great love for us, you canceled the debt that we could never pay to you. You pronounced us forgiven, and because you dealt with the power behind our sin, you pronounced us free. And so, Lord, we just remember what you did on Good Friday for us. Thank you for dying on the cross. We repent of our sin. We repent of our self-righteousness. We repent, Lord, of even having received your forgiveness, but still entertaining all those lies and those doubts that make us still feel guilty. Lord, forgive us wherever we've disobeyed you. Forgive us wherever we've sinned, and forgive us wherever we've believed the lies. And we thank you that in you we are completely forgiven. Our debt has been taken away. And so we receive your forgiveness. We receive your grace. And we receive your life. In Jesus' name, amen.